Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Loving Creative Podcast. My name is Kamga and I'm your host and I hope you're doing great. I feel particularly excited this morning of the 5th of June 2020 as I'm recording this episode. Why? Because I was able to finally get a song that I really enjoy. So I don't know if you're listening to it right now. I'm probably going to do it in the post edit, but I found some songs that I could actually use for my intro and outro. And the reason why I had to do that was because a friend, Diane, listened to the podcast and then ended up listening to many more episodes than she thought she was listening because there wasn't any intro and outro. And if you've been listening to this series, you know I'm doing 100 days of podcasting, daily podcasting, and this is day five. This is the fifth episode of me producing 100 podcasts daily. And during this process, what I've been trying to figure out first is it possible for me to actually stay with this challenge to completion? Second is trying to simplify as much as possible the skill acquisition required to get back into podcasting, get back into audio work by just, you know, going out there and making more content as much as possible. And the third thing, which is why I'm excited, is because I want to inspire you to take action and create the things you want to see in the world. I just finished reading Man's Search for Meaning this morning. And one of the big things that stood for me was towards the end. I don't want to spoil it for you, but something about the last, you know, last few sentences made me think about the reason why I create, the reason why I write, the reason why I make all these things that I make. And I thought to myself, actually, a lot of what I do is because I want other people to do what they want to do. So maybe that's my mission. That's my meaning in this world, is to just create so that others can create. So in this episode, we're going to talk about something that came up because of yesterday's episode. So if you've not listened to it, you might just have to go back one episode and listen to, you know, how to deal with negative feedback as a creative. That was the big idea of the episode. It was, you know, still short, still 15 minutes. The idea was to talk about how I deal with criticism, negative feedback. And so I got feedback, which is interesting. I got feedback about an episode that I didn't really touch something critical about feedback. I didn't really, you know, go into the idea of how to actually deal with it. And so today's episode, what I did is that I did some research. I actually went online and studied. Well, I read just one article. I found this really cool article from the Harvard Business Review written by this management professional who was talking about how to deal with negative feedback. And I studied that, pulled that up, read it a little bit. And I was like, huh, this actually answers a bunch of questions. So I'm going to put a link to the article in the description of this podcast. So if you want to read the article by yourself, which I highly encourage because it'd be way better than what I'm talking about here, you should go on ahead and read it. But I'm going to, you know, tell you what I learned about getting negative feedback. So this particular episode is really going to be focused on getting negative feedback, particularly from people you admire. So maybe would clear out the negative, the people you admire part, and just focus on negative feedback. Like, this is feedback that you don't want to hear. This is feedback that your work sucks. This is feedback that you're a terrible person, you're a terrible partner. This is feedback that makes you feel like you have to defend yourself. How do you handle this? As I was reading the article, I was looking at it in my own life and trying to figure, like, next time I get feedback from my wife, how would I want to deal with it? And yeah, I know you're listening to this, you know I talk a lot about my wife, and sometimes I paint the picture that we're having the best possible marriage ever. But one thing that I'm hoping that as you listen to this, you might consider is that the reason why I'm able to talk about my wife this much and the reason why I talk about her almost all the time is because I live with her and I've had to make decisions about who I want to be, where I want to be in life based on my relationship with her. So a lot of the decisions that I make, not that they're made because of her. It's just that when I make decisions, they affect her and I have to consider her presence in that space. So it could be, I feel like it's the same way people feel about their kids or they feel about their best friends. You don't just exist in a vacuum. So I just wanted to put this caveat out there because I have a feeling that I'm painting an image of marriage that may not be close to the reality, which shows, you know, just a world of beauty and soft and love and excitement, and it's just like, oh, I wish I could have that. I guess it's because we talk mostly about the good things, and most of the time when the bad things happen, we just bury them. And I don't know that if that's fair, but that's an aside. And if that's something they want us to talk about, you know, on this podcast, just make sure to leave a comment because I would like to get some feedback. So let's get on to getting negative feedback. I took some notes and I want to just, you know, do a rough overview. You know, this podcast, my goal is to keep it less than 15 minutes. So this particular one might extend because I did figure out a bunch of things. But here's the first thing. The first thing that this writer mentioned in the article, what's his name? Let me go pull it up here real quick. His name is Dick Grote, I think, G-R-O-T-E. And the first thing he talked about in the beginning of the article is that whenever this happens, like, everybody knows what they're supposed to do. Everybody knows they're supposed to listen. Everybody knows they're supposed to not be defensive. You know, this says, listen carefully, don't get defensive, ask for time. Like, those are the three main things. We all know that when you get feedback, you should listen carefully. You should pay attention to what they are saying. We all know that you should not get defensive. You should not try to defend yourself. And we all know that you should ask for time, ask for space to go and deal with this feedback and come back. So we all know these things. You know these things. The thing is, when this is happening, when you're getting that feedback in real time, when somebody's screaming at you or telling you how you destroyed a project or telling you that something sucks, you don't think about these three things. You don't think about listening carefully. You don't think about getting defensive. You don't think about, you know, asking for time. It doesn't happen. So the first point I want to drive home here is that a lot of what I'm saying right now is for you to prepare for the next time it happens. I feel like a lot of life, a lot of the reason why I read so many books or, you know, read so many articles is that usually we only learn from our mistakes. It's not as if when these things happen in real time, we can just pull up, you know, the breadth and the bank of knowledge that we have and just suddenly become very eloquent and sharing what we're thinking about. So you need to realize that a lot of what I'm saying would work for the next time, not for right now. So you have to prepare yourself. All is to say, you know, read more articles, read more books, prepare yourself so that when the moment comes, you'd have, you know, less time to think about, okay, what do I need to do now? What do I need to prepare? It's like preparing for an exam. When they give you a syllabus at the beginning of the school year, you don't know what it is. Like, you might have an idea. You might Google it. It might take you longer to think about those things. But when you've studied and prepared, they put the sheet of paper in front of you and they ask questions, then you can answer them. And if you haven't prepared well, then you know what happened. So we're going to talk about the same things. Listen carefully. Don't get defensive and ask for times. But now put, you know, points and accents on where you should be and how you can actually use these things. So for listen carefully, we all know that you should not be interrupting. We all know you should listen carefully. Don't stop the person from talking. But now, there are a few reasons that you need to understand why you have to remain silent. But you want to understand also what exactly is the person talking about before you react to it. So you need to be listening for other things. The first thing is this a fact or an opinion? Like, what this person is saying about me or about my work or about what the situation happened, is this a fact? Like, did I actually miss out something that was critical to the project? Or is the person feeling that I handled the project poorly? Like, those are two different things. So when you're listening, so both can be accurate, but to be able to sort out those facts from the opinion while you're listening can actually make it easier for you to respond effectively, says Dick in this article. And that's the first thing. Is it fact or opinion? Second thing, is it accurate? Accuracy of the feedback and the quality of the presentation are two different things. So somebody can actually tell you, you suck at writing because you're terrible with grammar. Yeah, they can present to you in a way that makes you feel bad. That's the quality of their presentation. But when you're listening, you need to pay attention to, is this actually accurate? I strongly believe that we actually have a better understanding of, you know, what we're looking for, the skills that we want, or how we actually interact in situations. Like, when somebody tells me I've done something bad, I had seen it coming. Like, it hardly surprises me. In fact, if it surprises me, then that's a very good thing, because usually we get defensive when we actually feel bad and we feel guilty, I think. I don't know about other human beings, but the thing is, you want to be able to differentiate between somebody being annoying and just spreading, you know, telling you something you don't want to hear in a terrible way, being frustrated and expressing it, and just telling you the plain truth. Like, there are times when my wife would tell me things that I know are true. The way she would say it might be an issue. The way she expresses it might be an issue. I know, like, I'm saying all this because I know that I have to be able to learn to differentiate between the quality of the presentation and the accuracy of the feedback. What the person is saying, is it actually factually true? So that's the second thing. Is it accurate? And then the next thing is the intent. So all this under listening carefully. The first one was fact or opinion. Next one was accuracy versus quality. And this final one under listening carefully is the intent. What's the intent? What's the motive? Why is this person giving me this feedback? For example, if you're a writer, did I put this person to actually give me the feedback? Did I give them my work to give me, you know, feedback? Are they trustworthy and reliable? Is this feedback that I want to pay close attention to? Is it individual? Is it egotistical? Is it a one-man, you know, one-sided thing? Does this person have a tendency to traumatize things? Are they a professional? Should I listen to what they have to say? Because if you don't consider the source of the feedback, then you will not be able to listen carefully. So listening requires you to pay attention to these three things. And all these three things fall under the listening aspect of this feedback. Now, next, we're going to talk about defensiveness. You know you should not get defensive. It doesn't help anybody. So even if this person is giving you feedback that is inaccurate, ill-informed, petty or irrational, or just you know, playing weird. Oh, I'm reading all this from the article. It's easy for you to become defensive, especially and even when the person criticizing you is factually wrong. And you tell them, hey, you're wrong. That doesn't help, even if you can prove it. So for you to not listen defensive, for you to actually listen without being defensive, there are two key things that you can do. I'm going to wrap this up to make sure that you can understand key, and you can read the article. So let me not read the article here for you. First, listen without planning a reply. Second, ask questions. So how do you listen without planning a reply? Just listen, nod, you know, show affirmative that you understand what's going on. And when a person stops, you can actually ask them, you know, just to make sure that I've understood you, is this what you're saying? Or is there anything else I wanted to add? I mean, you can say that in a way that actually gets a person encouraged to speak or feel bad about it. But you need to be able to listen without interrupting and then ask questions. And I know this because I know that I need to pick this up for myself, because when my wife is speaking to me, I tend to want to just jump in and be like, no, that's not what you said. This is what happened. This is this. But the truth is, when somebody is giving you negative feedback, being able to stop yourself from, you know, interrupting and getting defensive and trying to explain yourself, that goes in circles and that conversation never ends. And it ends up people feeling guilty, because what if the person is actually right? You know, as we saw earlier with the motive and intent and the quality, the person could actually be telling the truth. It could be accurate. But if they are not presenting in a way, it can make you feel bad. I make the person feel bad for actually even trying to help you, because in their perspective, they might be giving you feedback that they think is important. So don't get defensive. And now for the third thing we've talked about, you know, the first one was listening carefully. Second was don't get defensive. The last one is ask for time. Ask for time means that you need to be able to separate yourself from the situation in order to actually get good understanding of what's going on. This might mean considering what has been said. It might mean going to see somebody else and understand, like, did what this person say actually mean it? And so how do you ask for time? One, the example in the article is something like, I appreciate your feedback. I'd like to give what you've said some real thought and get back to you. And then you can add, is there anything else I should know? So you see, it's almost part of that defensiveness. So it demonstrates that you know that you've taken what has been said seriously and you want to ensure that nothing has been left unsaid. So when you ask for time, it actually helps to diffuse emotional load. It's like walking away, but, you know, saying, this is important. I want to talk to you about what you've told me. But right now, I'm overloaded or distracted or feeling defensive. Can we get back together tomorrow morning? And so these are the three things I need to do. You already know them. You know, you need to listen carefully. You need to be not defensive. I need to ask for time. But the final thing that Dick says in the article is make sure you close it off. Don't over-apologize. Apologize once if necessary, sincerely and maturely. Remember that criticism and negative feedback are a factor of life. Learn from your mistakes and move on. And that's something that I feel as a creator, as a person, as a human being, we have a hard time doing. We always play back these conversations in our minds. We're always looking like, oh man, I wish I had said this. I wish I had said that. What if I'd done this? But hey, negative feedback gives an opportunity for you to learn about yourself, about the person in front of you, and about the world. So if you are a writer, and you make your work, and somebody can actually tell you this dialogue sucks and tells you why. Because that's also something, you know, the whole idea of listening carefully is the person giving you a fact? Like, is the person saying, if you had done this particular thing here, this could have been better? That is completely different from, oh, your book is terrible. And usually the person saying it, you know, in the motive and intent, is this person a professional? Is this person an actual editor? Is this person a translator? Is this person someone whose opinion is relevant in the context of what is going on? Those questions allow you to, you know, calm yourself down, because when you're forced to feel defensive, if you realize that, well, this person talking about these things is actually an expert, this person saying this has actually gone through my emotions and they understand or have the context of it, it can help you calm down. So to wrap it up completely, remember the first thing is you have to be prepared for the next time. You're not going to get this thing, you know, on the get-go the first day and just be like, oh yeah, I know exactly what I'm doing. I'm good. I'm perfect. But knowing these things, listening carefully, not getting defensive and asking for time, those three things, when you prepare yourself and understand where the feedback is coming from, this can be an opportunity for you to deal with negative feedback even better. So with that said, I'd like to thank you again for taking the time to listen to this. I hope you are enjoying the outro that I found as well. I'm going to be talking. Actually, I wouldn't be seeing you, but I will be talking to you tomorrow. So let me know in the comment section if this has helped you, if you read the article, if you have some, you know, things to add, and how you handle negative feedback. And also if I miss anything, based on your perspective, because I really appreciated the feedback I got from my friend Roy and Dian. So Roy and Dian, thank you so much for inspiring this particular episode. And if you'd like to me to answer any questions or to go into something else as a creator, as a creative, as a business person, just let me know in the comment section and I will talk to you tomorrow.